Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Insomniac, the podcast for true crime, history, ghost stories, and more. As always, this is your host, Rachel Lemley. And before we get started, I wanted to thank Insomniac's newest monthly supporter. With your monthly support, Insomniac can visit new places, update equipment, and have awesome giveaways. So thank you, Michelle Hall, for becoming a monthly supporter. And thank you to all of my monthly supporters and listeners. I am so excited to watch Insomniac grow. All right, let's get into this week's stories. For this episode, I got to visit one of the coolest and best-preserved ghost towns I've been to yet. About 15 miles northeast of the small town of Wickenburg, Arizona, in the middle of the desert, sits the beautiful, yet haunting, Vulture City. A former California gold rush prospector, named Henry Wickenburg, discovered gold in the area in 1863, naming it Vulture Mine after all of the vultures he saw circling the area. Henry began mining on his own, but quickly discovered that he didn't want to, and probably couldn't do, all of the work on his own, and began allowing other miners to work the mine for a flat fee of $15 a ton. With the mine being open to any prospector, a community quickly developed around the mine, which became known as Vulture City. By the late 1860s, Vulture Mine was known as the largest and richest gold mine in Arizona, and between 1868 and 1871, the Vulture Mining Company developed office buildings, houses, a store, a warehouse, a boarding house, and several other buildings. The mine was very successful, which brought its own issue of high grading, or stealing, of the gold ore, which resulted in violence and murder, causing Vulture City to be known as the most dangerous town in Arizona at the time. There were fights and feuds that would come up from the mine into the town, and with this brought violence, and Vulture City became known for shootouts, murders, and rapes. It is said that if you were shot in Vulture City, you got buried where you fell, leaving countless unmarked graves all around town. By 1873, the Vulture City Mining Company was heavily in debt and closed the mine. But in 1878, the Central Arizona Mining Company bought the mine, and by 1880, Vulture City had developed even further to include a school, saloons, a blacksmith, and more. But by 1884, the Central Arizona Mining Company closed its operations. But the mine was bought again in 1887, this time by a man named Horace Tabor. However, exactly a year after he purchased the mine, a gold shipment on the road from Wickenburg to Phoenix was attacked, leaving the mining superintendent and the two guards transporting a gold bar worth over $7,000 dead, and the gold missing. Tabor offered a $1,000 reward for each bandit captured and the return of the gold bar. Once word of the reward was spread, a posse formed to hunt down the bandits, and a few days later, the posse caught up to the bandits, retrieving the gold bar and leaving one bandit dead. In 1897, Tabor sold the mine, and over the next few decades, the mine was worked intermittently. However, in 1923, tragedy struck when seven miners were working in the mine, chipping away at the support pillars to get to high-grade ore, causing a collapse of 100 pounds of rock, trapping and killing all of the miners and 12 donkeys. In 1942, President Roosevelt issued an executive order during World War II that closed the mine because all resources were being focused on the war effort. After that, Vulture City became a ghost town, with a few prospectors still working in the area. Today, the buildings of Vulture City have been beautifully restored and preserved, and for a small fee, you can spend the day walking around the once lawless dirt roads of Vulture City and explore the buildings filled with items of the past. Just be careful. You never know what you might kick up along the way. One of the most haunted buildings in Vulture City is called the Roost. It was once home to the last mining manager named Ernest Dickey, and was constructed in the 1880s. Today, it is a small museum of Vulture City's artifacts, some of them over 100 years old. An old building filled with old artifacts? A perfect place for ghosts. One visitor to the Roost, named Jane, was taking pictures and talking with her friend, when suddenly they both heard a sound. They instantly stopped talking and listened. They heard it again. The piano behind them was playing. They both turned quickly, but no one was there. Another visitor to the Roost, named Daniel, was looking around at the various artifacts displayed in the building, when suddenly he was startled by the ringing of a phone. He checked his cell phone, but it wasn't ringing. The ringing continued. He began to look around the room and spotted an old phone. As he walked towards it, the ringing got louder and louder. And just as he reached for the phone, it stopped. In addition to the building itself being haunted, there are several objects known to be haunted. First is a porcelain doll named Dolly. Dolly is said to belong to the spirit of a child named Izzy. Dolly is known to play music, move around, and even increase in temperature by 15 degrees. There's another larger porcelain doll that resides in the Roost, and is named Libby. Libby was previously located in the brothel and is said to be haunted by the spirit of a woman. The doll is known to move, cause dizziness, headaches, and even chest pain. The final haunted object in the Roost is a pair of baby shoes. The shoes were once located in the doctor's office and are known to move around on their own, and sometimes people even hear the sounds of a baby crying in the Roost. It seems that the building itself and the items stored there are a perfect recipe for a haunting, and if you visit, listen closely. You may just hear the spirits of the past calling. Another very haunted building in Vulture City is the Assayer Building, which was built in 1884. This is where the gold was assessed for quality and appraised. This is also where the gold was stored. There were many attempts to rob this building. However, only two of those attempts were successful. On one of these occasions, three bandits stormed the building, killed the guard, and ran off into the desert. The guards from the nearby mine chased down and killed all three bandits. But to their surprise, they found no gold. When the guards returned with the bodies, the townspeople protested to having them buried in the town, and they were taken back out into the desert and buried in unmarked graves. Today, the Assayer Building is restored, and you can even see the vault where the gold was stored. And if you're lucky, you might even catch a glimpse of those who gave their lives to protect it, or those who gave their lives to steal it, like one visitor named Justin. Justin was taking pictures alone around the Assayer Building when he thought he heard someone else walking around behind him. He turned around, but when he did, the noise stopped. So he shrugged off the incident and continued taking pictures. But again, he heard footsteps behind him. And again, when he turned around, there was nothing. Thinking his mind was playing tricks on him, he shrugged off the incident again. As Justin continued taking pictures, he heard the door behind him slowly creak open and then slam shut. He turned around quickly and opened the door, but no one was there. Other visitors to the Assayer building claimed to feel nauseous and uncomfortable, and some even claimed to see full-bodied apparitions. Are these the ghosts of the guards, or the bandits, or maybe both? No one knows for sure, but remember, both sides will kill for gold. Just like any other mine, the Vulture Mine has seen its fair share of misfortune and death, like the collapse in 1923 that trapped and killed 7 miners. But there was another gruesome incident involving a man named Jimmy Davis. Jimmy was a hard worker and well-liked around town. He was known to get the job done right. One day, while Jimmy was working in the mines, the pulley system malfunctioned. And when Jimmy climbed on a ladder to fix the belt, his arm got stuck in the loop of the pulley. The belt tightened, and when he tried to get out, he was launched several feet into the air, with his arm still stuck in the loop. Jimmy's body slammed into heavy machinery, breaking every bone in his body, before tossing him hundreds of feet into the central mine shaft. The worst part? Jimmy didn't die. Well, not right away. He was stuck in the mine, screaming for help, for 5 hours before he died. When you visit Vulture City, there is a mine shaft that has a gate over it, where you can literally look down a 170-foot deep mine shaft. The same mines that saw so much tragedy and death, which makes it not at all surprising that people today can still hear voices coming from the mine, voices of men talking, and even screams for help. And some people have even claimed to see unusual shadows down the mine shaft. It seems that the tragedy that occurred so far beneath the ground still finds a way to surface in Vulture City. Stick around after this short break to hear about the most creepy spot in Vulture City. Just about every location in Vulture City has reports of ghostly activity, but there is one place that I think is the most creepy, and that is the Hanging Tree. On the tree, there is a sign that reads, "From this ironwood tree, 18 men were hung for high-grading or stealing gold ore." The tree is a healthy 250-year-old ironwood and is the location where 18 men were hung, not only for stealing gold, but also for rape and murder. Many visitors to the tree report having sudden feelings of dizziness and nauseousness. Now, I didn't experience any of those feelings, but I have to say, this spot made me very uneasy. With so much violence and murder around every corner, it is not at all surprising that just about every building in Vulture City has reports of ghostly activity. And the nearby town of Wickenburg even has some ghosts of its own. Wickenburg was founded in 1863 by ranchers and miners of the nearby Vulture Mine, and is still home to over 6,000 people today. And located at the heart of downtown is the Antiques and Artisans Emporium, a rather large shop with countless artifacts to look through, but this was not always what this building was used for. According to legend, this building was used for something much more horrifying, and used to be called the Texas Hotel. The Texas Hotel was built in 1895, and it wasn't long after this that it's said that Dr. Pearson got into cahoots with the hotel owner, and together they cooked up a scheme to poison the hotel guests and steal their belongings. A note would be sent from the owner to the doctor, saying something along the lines of, "I've got a live one here," and the doctor would come and take them to dinner and drinks and poison them. By the end of the night, they'd be dead and their bodies would be disposed of. They did this to 18 people before being discovered. A former owner of the building claims that things move around on their own and even fall off the shelves. And one time, she heard a voice say, "I can see you." In addition to this, guests claim to see things move on their own and hear strange sounds. And with such a tragic and violent history, it is no surprise that this building is still haunted with the ghosts of the past. So visit Wickenburg today. Go antique shopping and grab a bite to eat. Then drive up to Vulture City, explore the buildings, and see all the old items that were left behind. Just be sure to leave things where you find them. You know what the punishment is for theft in Vulture City. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Be sure to check out photographs from Vulture City and Wickenburg on my Instagram at Insomniac Photography or on the website at www.insomniacpodcast.wordpress.com. Like, follow, share, and until next time, thank you for listening.